Tonight, President Trump dramatically escalates trade war fears, sending stocks into another steep dive after threatening new tariffs on China. How it all impacts jobs and the prices you pay. Facebook announces major changes in your feed to prevent election interference as the U.S. slaps new punishments on Putin's inner circle, including his son-in-law. Breaking news, the FBI seizes Backpage, the popular classified ad website, long accused of being a hub for prostitution and sex trafficking. Police shootout. New body cam video showing deputies arresting a gunman after dragging a wounded mother to safety under fire and going back to rescue her terrified children. And Nightmare Cruise. They set sail for 2 weeks of fun and relaxation, only to find themselves on a floating construction site.
It was 2 weeks of anguish, 2 weeks of anxiety. Everybody was on edge. There was no relaxation whatsoever on this two-week cruise.
Tonight, furious passengers speaking out.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. We welcome our viewers in the West. New shots fired in a looming trade war with China sent jitters across global markets and potentially left a lot of American businesses in the crossfire. President Trump threatening to add billions of dollars more in tariffs on Chinese imports after Beijing responded to Washington's move. Right now, it's mostly threats, but the mere possibility that bravado will turn to real tariffs on real products that support American jobs helped send the stock market tumbling, the Dow losing 572 points today, or 2.3%. Our Hallie Jackson has the story.
In this international game of chicken, nobody's blinking. A tariff tit for tat, teetering on a trade war.
There is the potential of a trade war. And let me just be clear, it's not a trade war.
Beijing's promising it's ready for a fight after Donald Trump threatened another round of tariffs on $100 billion worth of goods from China.
I'm not saying there won't be a little pain.
The president argues short-term pain will mean long-term gain if China is ultimately convinced to stop what the administration considers unfair trade practices. But tonight, calls to cool off.
Of course they're going to retaliate. I'm not sure who's more vulnerable, but both sides are going to lose.
So how do we get here? Start with those U.S. tariffs in March on steel and aluminum imports. Monday, China slapped back pork, soybeans, and other crops in the crosshairs. Tuesday, the U.S. upped the ante, aiming at aerospace and electronics industries. So China added new tariffs of its own Wednesday, leading President Trump overnight to threaten more.
Nothing's happened. Nothing's been executed.
The White House insists it's not bluffing, but since not all of the tariffs have been implemented, the negotiating window's still open. The question, for how long? Hallie Jackson, NBC News, the White House.
This is Tom Costello. Wichita, Kansas is a world away from the trade war talk in Beijing and Washington. But Steve Hunter's construction business is already paying the price. 25% more for steel than what he paid in February. Steel prices jumped after the U.S. imposed tariffs on cheap Chinese steel.
If the tariffs continue, it's going to impact our business. We're going to have to lay off employees. We're going to have to cut back on expenditures.
Meanwhile, in California, 5,000 cases of Wenty wine meant for China are stuck at the port after China retaliated with a 15% tariff on U.S. wine exports. A big hit after Wenty's business with China jumped 80%. Last year.
Once again, we are collateral damage for things taking place at a political level that really has very little to do with wine.
The list of U.S. goods on China's tariffs list is growing longer by the day, including corn, soybeans, pork, fruit, nuts, aluminum, planes, aviation parts, trucks, cars, and SUVs. While the American tariffs on Chinese products sold here could send prices higher for flat-screen TVs, medicines, medical devices, aircraft parts, batteries, and construction equipment. Some Trump supporters are glad to see the U.S. get tough with China.
Yes, I voted for Trump. I totally agree the tariffs. I believe if they are charging us, we need to charge them back.
But tonight, there's fear of more collateral damage to come.
Some economists predict we could see 240,000 layoffs by this time next year if this trade war continues. But there is still plenty of time to find a negotiated settlement. Lester?
All right, Tom Costello in Washington tonight. Thank you. This evening, another type of crackdown by the Trump administration, the strongest action yet against Russia for meddling in the U.S. election. As Chief Foreign Affairs Correspondent Andrea Mitchell reports, the new economic sanctions hit Vladimir Putin's inner circle.
Punishing Putin only weeks after proposing a summit with the Russian leader. President Trump targeting Putin's friends and family, backing up this claim.
Nobody's been tougher on Russia than I have.
Now sanctions against 24 Russian officials and tycoons and their companies. Their assets frozen, travel to the U.S. banned, no business with American companies. For seizing Crimea and eastern Ukraine, arming the Syrian regime, and meddling in the U.S. election.
It doesn't mean that Putin is going to change his behavior overnight, but it does signal that we are serious about trying to protect our vote.
A parting shot signaled by ousted National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster.
Mr. Putin may believe that he is winning in this new form of warfare. He is wrong.
For Vladimir Putin, this hits close to home. Among those sanctioned, Putin's son-in-law, his deputy central banker, Alexander Torshin, who met with Donald Trump Jr. at the 2016 NRA convention, and industrialist Oleg Deripaska, a Paul Manafort business associate. Russia says it will respond firmly.
Decisions are made in Russia generally on Friday when Putin sits down with five or six of his key associates. Well, some
today's
of those associates.
Today's
Friday, and some of those associates are on this list, so they have something to talk about.
Tonight, the White House says the crackdown will not prevent the president from having a summit with Putin, depending on how Russia responds. Andrea Mitchell, NBC News, Washington.
There is breaking news tonight about a popular classified ad website. The feds have shut down Backpage.com. A site associated with prostitution and child exploitation, and long a target for local prosecutors and congressional investigators. NBC Justice correspondent Pete Williams has details.
Federal agents today searched an Arizona house belonging to one of the website's founders as the federal government shut down the internet site, Backpage.com, saying it was an action supported by the Justice Department's office that fights child sexual exploitation. The site was the online version of adult-oriented classified ads, but it's long been accused of facilitating prostitution and has been a target of local prosecutors and congressional investigators.
We were able to determine that they knew what they were doing, that they were actually taking ads regarding underage girls, even editing the ads to try to hide the fact that they were underage. So they were complicit in it.
Advocates for children say many underage girls forced into prostitution end up in online ads.
Most of the victims are female and children. It's really a form of slavery, modern-day slavery.
State and local investigators have said in the 14 years Backpage.com was in operation, it earned millions. In the past, Backpage has denied knowingly facilitating sex trafficking and has insisted that it helps state and local authorities track down victims of illegal activity. Lester?
All right, Pete Williams, thank you. Facebook took new steps today to repair the damage and restore confidence by its users that information they share on the site will be protected. Facebook also said it will take measures to prevent potential Russian meddling in this year's midterm elections. We get more from business correspondent Jolene Kent.
Tonight, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg promising to hire thousands of more people to verify political ads so users can see where they come from and who is paying for them. Facebook also forcing users with big followings to verify their identities, saying they will make it a lot harder for anyone to do what the Russians did during the 2016 election.
I don't believe today's actions by Facebook will completely stop what the Russians did in 2016 and what they're planning on doing in 2018. That's a good step in the right direction.
In an exclusive interview with Savannah Guthrie on Today, Facebook's second-in-command, Sheryl Sandberg, apologized for the Cambridge Analytica scandal that exposed as many as 87 million users' information.
At the time, we got multiple assurances from them that the data had been deleted. Now, we should have done the forensic audit we're doing now then, for sure.
Sandberg says Facebook is likely to find more problems.
Could you have an opt-out button? Please don't use my profile data for advertising.
We have different forms of opt-out. We don't have an opt-out at the highest level. That would be a paid product.
But Facebook currently has no plans to offer that. Apple CEO Tim Cook disagrees with the way Facebook makes money.
We've never believed that these detailed profiles of people
that have incredibly deep personal information that is patched together from several sources should exist.
Next week, Zuckerberg will testify on Capitol Hill. Lawmakers will be demanding answers.
And Jolene, people taking this in, the question on their minds in many cases, should we trust Facebook now?
While some social media experts are saying no, plain and simple, they advise consumers think hard about where your data could go if you put it on Facebook or any social media site. Lester.
All right, Jolene Kenton, I thank you. Angry cruise passengers are speaking out after they say their dream vacation turned into a nightmare when constant construction on board their ship ruined what should have been a restful and blissful 2 weeks at sea. The cruise line is now apologizing and offering credits toward future voyages, but some say that's not good enough. NBC's Katie Beck has details.
A luxury vacation, more like a splitting headache for some Norwegian cruise goers who paid thousands of dollars for what they call a nightmare.
They were sanding, they were using hammer drills, they were making tons of noise.
Norwegian Sun left Miami March 16th, a two-week trip ending in Los Angeles.
It was a full-blown construction zone. That's not peaceful in any way, shape, or form.
Decks cornered off for improvement. Construction dust everywhere. Materials stockpiled.
Basically, we're herding us around like cattle because we couldn't use sections of the ship.
Here it is, 1123.
Noise from power tools.
And this is what we've got to listen to.
The smell of chemicals making some feel ill. The ship's captain tried to quiet a crowd of angry passengers. The effort sunk. Norwegian Cruise Lines responding, "We do recognize that during a recent sailing, we did not meet the expectations of our guest, nor our own standards, for which we truly apologize." Offering passengers credit for a future cruise matching the fare they paid.
I'd like a full refund for this cruise. It was 2 weeks of anguish.
Some not willing to take the chance after a rough time at sea. Katie Beck, NBC News.
4 years after the water supply in Flint, Michigan became contaminated with lead, the state today announced the water is safe and the crisis is finally over. The government will stop supplying free bottled water, but some Flint residents are skeptical and don't trust that it's safe to drink from the tap. Tonight, severe weather is on the move in the south. Storms are taking aim with heavy rain and a tornado risk in Texas, Louisiana, and Mississippi. And much of the eastern and central U.S. still waiting for spring will be hit with temperatures as much as 20 degrees below average this weekend. The federal drug agent who led the hunt for one of the world's most wanted men is breaking his silence. For years, notorious drug kingpin Joaquin Guzman, better known as El Chapo, eluded U.S. and Mexican authorities until one man obsessed with finding him helped discover the key to tracking El Chapo's every move. Finding El Chapo was the dangerous mission of this man and a team of U.S. and Mexican law enforcement agents. Despite the risks, he has come out of the shadows.
The danger is the real, right? Really, I've got to watch my back the same way, whether I was under an alias or using my real name.
Is it a calculated risk?
I'm always calculating it in my head, but it was time to really step up and be proud of what I had done, of what my teammates had done.
His name is Drew Hogan. He's written a new book, Hunting El Chapo. He told me how he pursued El Chapo from safe house to safe house and finally confronted him face to face. But first, Hogan had to infiltrate El Chapo's Sinaloa cartel. He secretly tracked the disposable burner phones used by El Chapo's underlings.
And you're reading the
messages, piecing together day-to-day structure of his organization, his day-to-day operations.
It must have been an eye-opener.
Yeah, it was like reading a novel that you couldn't put down.
More of Drew Hogan's story when I take you inside the hunt for El Chapo on Dateline Sunday at 7, 6 Central here on NBC. Still ahead here tonight, the new video of a life and death standoff as sheriff's deputies rescue a woman and children from a gunman. Also, another popular retailer finds itself out on the step in the digital age and files for bankruptcy. We're back now with the newly released body cam footage from a harrowing police shootout. Authorities are only now showing us the moment hero deputies encountered and arrested a shooter after they braved gunfire to rescue a wounded mother and her three children back in 2016. NBC's Ann Thompson has the story.
for the first time, a more complete picture of terrifying minutes in Central Florida.
Sheriff's office, come outside!
Inside, Emmanuel Rosado, now convicted of attempted second-degree murder. Video from the body cameras of the Volusia County Sheriff's deputies responding in 2016.
Come here, ma'am. Come to me.
Rosado's wounded wife comes out of the window and crawls away, leaving her three children.
Stay down, ma'am.
I got you. I got you.
Deputy Justin Ferrari pulls her to safety. Rosado tries to flee through the back of the house, and again, Ferrari is there.
I ran to the back of the house to help, and as I did so, I saw three young children run out the back door.
Come here, sweetheart.
He rescues the three children, the oldest
come here,
seven,
buddy, come here.
The youngest not
come
yet two.
Come here.
Stand up with your hands up. Do it now.
Deputies corner Rosado in the back of the house.
Keep walking. Keep walking.
Surrounded, he surrenders. His wife and children survive, saved by some courageous officers.
Anybody else in the house?
Ann Thompson, NBC News.
Absolutely harrowing. When we come back, deposits now being taken for the first luxury hotel with the ultimate room with a view. And the unusual arrival at a petting zoo. Here's a hint. Her name is Mistletoe. There are new troubles in store for yet another well-known retailer. Nine West, the women's shoes and apparel chain, has filed for bankruptcy. The company, which has already closed 71 locations, will continue operating while it reorganizes. Like many retailers, Nine West has struggled amid the rise in online shopping. Need a vacation? Talk about really getting away from it all. The very first luxury space hotel is now taking reservations. A tech startup called Orion Span plans to open it in 2022, but it will cost you a 12-day stay is nearly $10 million. Hopefully you get a mint on your pillow. And for the first time in 20 years, a reindeer was born in Maine. She weighed 12 pounds when she was born at a petting zoo, which named her Mistletoe. She arrived on Easter Sunday and will clearly be the star attraction between now and Christmas. When we come back, a new way to let off some stress. Just pick up your axe and let it fly. Finally, tonight, if you're looking for a little cutting-edge fun this weekend and want to blow off some steam in the process, our Kevin Tibbles found something you might want to try your hand at.
Let your inner lumberjack or Jill fly.
What are you doing here?
Throwing axes. Trying to let out some aggression.
Axe throwing is a thing, really. With almost 100 facilities across North America, like Chicago's Battle Axes, they sharpen their skills from the safety of the thrower's cage. Franchise owner Scott Hollander says everyone from bearded hipsters to bachelorette parties want to get into the swing of things.
Before you became an axe-throwing impresario, what were you?
I was a lawyer. Yeah. And then I took the natural path from lawyer to axe thrower, as most people do.
No matter how you slice it, from Game of Thrones to Paul Bunyan, axe throwing's earned its spot somewhere in that realm between darts and bowling.
As a millennial doing one of these crazy millennial pastimes, I'm going to crush it.
And once you've mastered the little fellas, they bring out the big boy.
Left hand on the bottom.
And why not? This is perhaps the only place these days where a hatchet job is a good thing. Kevin Tibbles, NBC News, Chicago.
There we go.
The sound effects and everything. All right, we appreciate you spending part of your evening with us. That is Nightly News for this Friday night. And by the way, I'll see you back here for Dateline tonight at a new time, 9 p.m. Eastern. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.